The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
Learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH, I'm Andy, your host, and before we start today's show, I would like to thank William for his recent donation. If you are able to help keep the show on the air, then please go to achshow.com and click the banner at the top, and that will give you instructions on how to do so. Today, I'm delighted to welcome back one of my monthly guests who's become a good friend. Let me get it in the right order. Steve Elkins of Republic Broadcasting Network. Let's bring him up right now. Steve, are you with us?
I am. Good morning. Good morning. At least on my end, Steve, it is.
Yeah, it's morning your end. It's 2:16 on Wednesday afternoon my end as we're recording this, so if the sky has fallen, folks, in between now and this being broadcast on the Friday, that is why. But it's a topic-based show that Steve has come up with the title for. I'm going to give you that in a moment. But Steve's program, there are two, and they're essential listening. The first one is on Sunday night, and it's just before Giuseppe and Scorpio the Sane Asylum, which in turn is just before Robert Ray Vault, so it adds to a sterling lineup on Sunday night in RBN. It's called Off the Beaten Path, 2-hour show that Steve's had for a considerable amount of time. And then on Monday, he hosts the National Intel Report again in the evening, and he has Ron McDonald, who many of you will be aware of, join him on the second hour. And it also, in the post for this show, you will see a link to Steve's archives. Now, I just download his shows, but he does make an effort on putting a write-up in what the contents of the show, a bit like I put a write-up in here, so people can look at it and decide if they want to listen or if they don't. And I was unaware of that because I just download them anyway, and I know some people on RBN don't do any sort of description, and some people it might be one line. But what you have to do is when you see each individual archive in the list, there's a button that says continue reading. Have a click on that and have a look, and if you haven't heard Steve's shows before, then please check them out, because you're missing a treat if you don't tune in. So Steve, the title of today's show that Steve has come up with for us is It's Bold and In Your Face, Government Tyranny. So, Steve, where would you like to start us off today with this topic?
Oh, geez, where do we start? Well, I tell you what, let's look down the list here. What have we had happen lately? Let's talk about a stolen election, okay? Yeah, let's stolen an election. A guy that hides in the basement that wins by a record number of votes, more than Obama won. I think that really irritated Obama when he boasted about that. So we start off with stolen government, stolen presidential election, and then we move on to January 6th, the Stop the Steal, movement, I guess you want to call it. 1.5 million people showed up in Washington, D.C. because they were making their voices heard because they knew of a stolen election. A guy that hides in the basement can't win an election. I mean, that's just common sense stuff. A guy who doesn't campaign, he stumbles every time he gets up to the podium, cannot win the election. We knew this was rigged. We saw this coming, and I partially blame Donald Trump for allowing it to get to this point, because he identified a problem with the election problem here, the voter election fraud that might come. And so I think when you have a duty to, when you identify a problem, to fix the problem before it becomes a problem. that's what I do in my job. You know, ICU and medicine, you see a problem that possibly could be, and you fix it and make sure it never becomes a problem. And when, like I said, he didn't do it. So we got to this point of stolen election because I think he dropped the ball on that one. Why he did, I have no idea. He identified it. So we have that. And then we have this January 6th. I call it the Omission Commission because the Department of Justice had already done their investigation to see if Donald Trump had done anything wrong as far as inciting a riot or being charged with insurrection. They have done their investigation. They came back and said, no, we got nothing. They got nothing on this guy. So what happens? Well, outside the rule of law, Liz Cheney and her cohorts, all these Trump derangement syndrome people, which are part of the committee, the entire committee are Trump haters. Let's be honest about it. They are Trump haters. They got to find a way to disqualify Donald Trump for 2024. So they get together, which is illegal. The DOJ has already done their investigation. These people get together and say, well, we got to find something. So again, a legal action outside the rule of law to put this committee together and to find something they can hang on to. So they start calling witnesses, and I heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend. He did this and that, you know, all these hearsay things, but they had nothing substantial. Everything they threw at Donald Trump to disqualify him failed miserably. So now what do we do? Well, let's see. Let's say he's got some documents at his home. They're classified. They're in his possession. That'll disqualify him. Let's do a little theater here, a little, you know, promotion here. Let's raid his compound, his house here. And this will make him look bad in the eyes of the public because, well, you know, you got the mainstream media's been tipped off. They're there with their film crews and they're watching the entire thing. Now, we saw this plenty of times before. We saw this with Roger Stone, Dinesh D'Souza for 2000 Mules documentary, James O'Keefe from Project Veritas, Steve Bannon, and now Donald Trump. This is all very scripted. This is like a Hollywood movie in a way. They're always tipped off. The mainstream media, the liberal media is always tipped off, and they're always there with their cameras to film it because now their job is to sell it to the American public to say, look, the FBI wouldn't raid anybody's house unless they were a criminal. They're trying to plant that seed, deceptive seed, that this person, if he's being raided by FBI, they are criminal. Now let's go back to a couple days ago. The whole authorization, this whole thing comes together, pieces of the puzzle come together here, how deceptive this really was. Well, you start off with the, why not didn't Washington, D.C., why didn't they go to Washington, D.C. to find the magistrate judge to sign off, give them a search warrant authorization to do the search? Well, it didn't. You know, Washington would supersede Florida. We're talking about Palm County now. So Washington didn't supersede. I guess that might have gone off to migrated over to Joe Biden. And they would have said, well, you know, this is a political hack here. This is a political show here coming after your opposition. So they go down to Palm Beach and they find this liberal Democratic judge down here by the name of Bruce Reinhart. Interesting character associated with the Jeffrey Epstein crowd. Makes me wonder if he might have been on the list on the Lolita Express to Orgy Island, to Epstein's Orgy Island. That is something to look into, no doubt about it. So they get what they wanted. They got their rubber stamp. And then they show up in, what, Ryder trucks, 35 agents, all decked out in everything you can think of. Just, they had more agents at Donald Trump's house down here at Mar-a-Lago than they had that stormed the little shanty shack where they killed an old man who looked like Osama bin Laden. They knew Donald Trump was not in the building. They knew he was up in New Jersey because he'd been pulled away. That was all very purposeful also for some questioning on some businesses that he owned. So they made sure he was out of the area, or they carried on their little script of a Hollywood script here of the raid, the FBI raid. And they ran with it. Look, I mean, major, major news. Donald Trump's castle's been raided here, which means, oh my God, what did he do now? You know, they're trying to plant that seed. But Merrick Garland, just a couple days ago, got on TV there, and the hypocrisy coming out of his mouth, it's just laughable. But there was nobody in the mainstream media to question it or challenge it. But he was saying that the rule of law is the core of the FBI. Well, let me clue you in on something here. You know, I talked earlier. The FBI and the CIA were created to go outside the rule of law, not within the rule of law guidelines, but to go outside the rule of law. These people can do assassinations. They can do coups to overthrow governments. That's all. They can do all these things. Now, under our law, they could not do that. So they're outside the rule of law. So that's the hypocrisy statement, just to say that it's the core of their FBI is laughable. Andrew, it is laughable that somebody can actually say that. And don't take my word for it. Look it up yourself. You can look it up. The CIA, FBI works outside the rule of law. They can assassinate. They can do all kinds of things. Even their own citizens. They can assassinate our own people. So that's a start. It's bold and it's in your face. The title itself, it's bold in your face, government tyranny, is because they're not hiding it anymore, Andrew. They're not hiding it at all. They're just, here we are. We're communists. We're going to do what we want. There's nothing you can do about it. We stolen elections. We can do this. We can do that. It's bold and it's in your face. It's almost as if they're pushing the buttons on the Americans to say, rise up, do something. We're anticipating you to push back. And that's what they want. They actually want you to push back to a point where they can say, now we can have martial law here. And they'll call in their UN peacekeepers, which are anything but peacekeepers, and they'll have no problem firing on an American citizen because they have no skin in the game. So I've always told people that if we get to that point here, when the revolution, I do believe there's going to be some kind of revolution here, a pushback, that when you start seeing UN troops on your streets in the uniforms there, guess what? It's happening. It's happening right then and there. So America is well-armed, Andrew. I don't think we're a bunch of gun-toting crazy people here, but we do believe in our Second Amendment. We do believe in the right to protect ourselves, our castle, and to defend ourselves. This administration here, well, just recently, and here's another bold in-your-face government tyranny, is the United States government is going to hire another 87,000 IRS agents that will be able to carry a gun. That's scary stuff. I mean, that's for 400,000 and less, which means that's pretty much everybody. Most people I know very few people make over 400,000. So that means they're going to be squeezing taxes out of the middle class, and they're going after middle class. So they raise your taxes to hire these agents to go through your taxes. This is just bold. It's tyranny, government tyranny. It's shaking down the people. And you know what's funny about it is, Andrew, is that most people I know, because they've made it so difficult to do your own taxes, we hire people to do our taxes. H&R Block, all these different ones we hire to do our taxes. It's not like we would try intentionally to cheat anybody, you know. And our taxes, we hand it over to some tax, as they call them, tax specialists. And the tax specialist says, I'll take care of it. Give me all your information. I got it. Okay. Deductions here and there. Boom, boom, boom. Okay. I can't hide anything. What am I hiding? I've given it all to the tax preparer. So this here is not about taxes, because you would never arm an IRS agent. There is something bigger going on here. They're going to be given law enforcement privileges. And what's going to be that? What's going to actually be entailed in their description of law enforcement properties? What are they going to get to do? This is tyranny. This is the government tyranny I speak of with the title.
Indeed. And I mean, my what you said is very, very prescient, really, because I get very annoyed with the sheer bloody mindedness of this administration in America that we know stole the election. And rather than steal the election and think, right, well, we managed to pull that off, let's lie low, they go after all these protesters on January the 6th. And rather than go after them on the day when they'd have been overpowered and things might have turned out differently, they can only operate as bullies. That's what these people have always done. They can only operate in a rigged game. And so this January 6th thing, in my opinion, was completely an act of entrapment. It was designed to encourage people to go into the building and then get all their details. And then over a period of time, because it was a period of several months that the arrests of all these people took place, but they'd wait until they were at home, you know, on their own, or maybe with a couple of other family members, certainly not with another million and a half, whatever it was, of their co-protesters. They won't go after them then. They wait until they're more or less defenceless, and then they storm their houses with huge SWAT teams and arrest them and put them in solitary confinement for, in some cases, 18 months, and they're still there today. And this administration that stole the election thinks nothing about that. You know, any normal individual that had just committed such a heinous act as that, they want to sort of, as I say, lay low. But no, they want to come for everything. They're in charge. We're going to do what we want. I've never seen a government operate so much like the Bolshevik Revolution as I'm seeing today. And exactly. So many people, they're saying this, aren't they, Steve? They're coming out and saying, look, this is the start. This is the start of the Bolshevik Revolution. We know who was behind that. Back to you for your comments.
Yeah, well, let's go back to that statement from Garland, from the United States Attorney General, Merrick Garland, talking about the rule of law as the core of the FBI. If that's true, then, again, these are not being called out. These statements are not being called out for the, you know, hypocrisy that they really are. We are supposed to forget about Peter Strzok, Agent Peter Strzok, Agent Lisa Page, their texts, their pillow talk, all the evidence we have to show that there were actually truly there was a conspiracy being formulated here to take Donald Trump out of the White House. He'd already been elected, and actually there was some pre-stuff before he became elected, but they had a plan in place already. The Russian collusion thing was all being set up. Hillary was a sponsor of paying pretty much for this. Obama was also part of it. So we're supposed to forget about Peter Strzok, Lisa Page. We're supposed to forget about Hillary Clinton, untouchable, her 33,000 emails that she deleted, the Blackberries and hard drives that she had smashed, the bio bleaching that she used on to scrub the emails so you can't even get a blueprint or a carbon copy of what was deleted. She did everything to destroy the evidence that she was told not to by the FBI. So when Garland comes out there and tells me that the core, that rule of law is the core of the FBI, he's got not one leg to stand on, Andrew. He's got not one leg to stand on. The corruption the FBI has covered for, I do believe the corruption of the FBI is deep. The FBI is part of deep state. I'm pretty certain that intelligence agencies, we have 17 in the United States, that they are included in deep state. The FBI has proven to me that they are deep state. They are definitely have a political mission here. They're not on the rule of law. And this whole raid on Donald Trump's residence, we can talk about that quite a bit. I mean, it's amazing what I saw happen here. And, you know, going through, rifling through Melania Trump's wardrobe, it's specific on a search warrant, is specific telling the judge what you're looking for, what you're actually looking for. And if it's, you know, if it's the size of a bread box, well, then you look for areas that have something the size of a bread box to hide. There's no necessity to do a raid, first of all, when you're compliant with the FBI and the government. Trump was compliant. He should have been there if he was served a warrant to search the premises. His attorney should have been allowed to be there also. But what happens? No, we make sure he's not there. We send the Secret Service out. His attorney has to leave the premises. This was a search on the premises with no oversight, no witness. And now here's the kicker. They were told, the staff were told to turn off the surveillance cameras. Well, this is all on the up and up. Why turn off the cameras? What do you have to hide? Or were you planning on planting something? The FBI is rogue. It's corrupt. It's rotten to the core, Andrew. It's time to go. I agree with Marjorie Taylor Greene. It's time to dismantle the FBI and probably the CIA. You don't need 17. There's a lot of overlap there. But we certainly don't need these people that are rogue. This is a stain on America. This is actually what keeps you always in a state of war. and being hated by countries. And this is what terrorism, why terrorism does actually get recruitment, because of actions from your CIA and your FBI, their little counterintelligence programs. Now, just a couple days ago, I saw a clip, an hour clip on True News, as TRUNEWS, coming out of Vero Beach, Florida, my old stomping ground when I was a kid. And I can't remember the host's name, Rick something, but he was giving a theory on what this whole raid was about. There's another theory that came after that second one. But there's a counterintelligence program called Crossfire Hurricane. Crossfire Hurricane was created by the FBI. Like I said, it's a counterintelligence program. But its premise, its primary objective was to go after Donald Trump, to find a way to bring him colluding with Russia to rig the 2016 election. They were already working on bringing down Donald Trump. Again, this is, you talk about conspiracy theory. People always talk about conspiracy theory. That's a negative. You're a conspiracy theorist. Well, you know, conspiracies really do happen sometimes. And what we have here is your own FBI conspiring to take down Donald Trump using this phony, manufactured Russian collusion, Russiagate thing to take him down. It's sickening. It's sickening when you think about it. So conspiracies really do happen. So they're going after Donald Trump and this counterintelligence operation called Crossfire Hurricane. So Donald Trump suspected he was being, or he actually had some people come in, these miners, they come in, they go through your offices, they found some bugging. They found as his offices were bugged. And so somebody was listening. And this thing is 10 times worse than Watergate, by the way. Watergate was bad. This is much worse than Watergate. So when he tipped him off, says, I found out, the whole thing stopped. They closed it down, the counterintelligence program. And later on, it was acknowledged, yes, the FBI was doing this. They had reason to suspect, you know, this and this. Again, always trying to find rationale of why they're breaking the law. So this was all now known, okay? He declassified the documents. And the FBI was supposed to release those under the Information Freedom of Information Act. They were supposed to be known by the mainstream media. Everybody, if you want to look it up, you can find out. I can find small tidbits of it. But they were supposed to release it. But it's shameful. It's embarrassing that the FBI was working against the president. So they were supposed to release it. He declassified it, and he puts it in one of his boxes, or one of his staff puts it in the boxes. So it's been declassified. Who can declassify? Well, the president can declassify. At the time he's looking at what to declassify at the end of his presidency, he's also looking at who he's going to pardon. It's about the same time. I'm going to pardon this guy, I'm going to pardon this guy, and I'll declassify this. My guess is that they do that, put all those documents together in a box. At some point in time, they're going to probably sift through and they're going to start making a book, probably, you know, their book for their presidency. So it was declassified. He's the one to declassify. The acknowledgement and oversight, the FBI knew what was going on, so there's no hiding this little file here. But what actually happened, it was theorized, is that the documents were taken off the premises. They were taken by Trump. They were declassified and then quickly reclassified by the FBI, which you cannot do. You cannot reclassify without the acknowledgement of the other person who declassified. They have to make a case, probably have to go to court for it, to say, well, you declassified it, and now we think it should be reclassified for a number of reasons. So if it's declassified, you can't reclassify without the acknowledgement of the person who declassified it. It sounds like who's on first and who's on second, doesn't it?
Yeah. And
remember that old Abbott and Costello thing there. But again, they reclassified it. So now if they reclassify, which you can't do, that's another legal action, by the way. They reclassified it, and now they said, well, he's in possession of documents he shouldn't be in possession of. So now we have him on a felony, and they got exactly what they want, a felony which will disqualify him for 2024. But if you actually seriously look at rule of law and follow rule of law, you'll see that you can't reclassify what's been declassified without the acknowledgement of the other party. So again, another witch hunt, another another conspiracy, true conspiracy, and your FBI is part of it to disqualify Donald Trump. It has been weaponized against the opposition. The FBI has been weaponized against the opposition. They are part of the deep state.
Yes, I've got a couple of bits here for you, Steve. When I heard about them going through Melania Trump's clothing in the raid, I was reminded of the Sopranos episode where the Paulie character goes over to Christopher's house, who's one of his sort of underlings, and demands this, that, and the other from him. And then he asks him if he's holding out on him, and he goes into the bedroom and he goes through his girlfriend's underwear drawer. And I don't know, you know, maybe I just drew parallels with that almost as if it was a form of humiliation. You know, if they went through our clothing, I think that they probably went through our underwear as well. And it was like, to annoy him. Nobody wants, people rifling through their wife's, undergarments, shall we say. Right. The other thing that I noticed was, I didn't watch extensive footage, but the agents that I saw, it was like looking at a Black Lives Matter or an LGBTQ rally. I mean, these people just look really, really young. They didn't look like FBI agents I grew up watching when I was seeing things like The X-Files and stuff like that, or some of the things that I've seen over time. These people look like they were very woke individuals, very very sort of slim, weak individuals, what I saw. And I might have only seen limited footage. The other thing I wanted to throw over to you, and this is a question quickly, and then I need to get into what I've got on it. You mentioned Operation Crossfire Hurricane. Now, is Crossfire Hurricane a term in America? Because it's not a term over here, because I've got an interpretation for you. But if it's in common usage in America, what's it actually mean?
You talking about Crossfire Hurricane?
Yeah.
You know, I think it's coming at every angle. It's coming at different angles. Crossfire, crossing over. It's kind of coming at many different angles here. And of course, a hurricane is something very volatile. It's huge. It wipes up. It takes care of everything. I mean, it can totally wipe you off the map type situation here. We down here in Florida, we get hurricanes, and I'm thankful that I'm not on the coastline here, and that's the reason why I decided to move into the center of the state. But if you've ever seen the damage done from a hurricane or a tsunami, it's pretty much the same. It totally wipes that area off the map. I mean, it destroys everything. So the crossfire would be coming at all different directions, finding anything you can that you need as far as taking down Donald Trump. And the final end of it would be the hurricane, which totally annihilates what you want to annihilate, and that would be Donald Trump. I mean, going back again to the Merrick Garland's speech here of the core of the rule of law is the core of the FBI. Again, we forgot about Hunter Biden's laptop. We forgot about all those illegal things on his laptop and, you know, the China collusion there and money under the table, pay for play, the sex, the drugs, everything you can think of. Again, that kind of fits our title today, the abuse of power. This is bold. It's in your face, government tyranny, and nobody's really doing much about it. The mainstream media is all on board. If anybody says anything at all, they're actually the controlled opposition, and they're trying to make it look like they care. People like Sean Hannity and people like Tucker Carlson, I do believe they are the controlled opposition. They put up a fight. They make it look like they really care. We're trying to, you know, work for you people and the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. They stand. But then again, they seem to know what's going to happen next. I do believe they're the controlled opposition. It's out of their control. But they play a good part of trying to be, you know, the person that brings you the truth. And you know, sometimes I think they do all right. But then again, John Fredericks of Real America's Voice, I think, pointed out, because he had a sit-down cocktail with Newt Gingrich one day. And as funny as how people start to drink, they start to really loosen up and let out things they probably shouldn't let out. And Newt Gingrich came out and said that Fox News was the controlled opposition, that they know what's going to happen next. It's scripted, and they know what's going to happen next, but they put up the good fight to let the American people think, I'm here, I'm fighting for you. But in the end, they know it's scripted and what the outcome's going to be. And that came from Newt Gingrich. So What happens after a couple beers? You really get you really start to roll it off the tongue there. Sounds like it.
Indeed, yes. And the only reason,
or in your neighborhood, we call it what, a pint? Have a couple pints?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. You get beer, you get a pint or a half, you know. That's one thing that didn't get changed with when we, you know, went into Europe, because everything else went metric. And then we used to have the weather in Fahrenheit, and I refused to change. Now it's switched to Celsius. That's why I always give my weather in Fahrenheit, because I'm not being dictated to that I have to change, you know, what I grew up with, because the government, or rather the European Union, tells me that I have to. Yeah, but I think because the pint has always been a traditional British thing, they had to keep that.
I kind of like it. I kind of like it out here. I remember in the seventh grade, they were starting to bring us the metric system. We were learning the metric system, which actually makes a lot of sense. I know it was hard to get used to it, but I worked in the wine industry, so I use everything metric, you know. But I like the idea of saying, how about a pint, you know? And I'll do my best British accent. If you come over to my house, I'll invite you over. If you want to have a pint, I'll give you my best British accent along with it. But as funny as that, you know, the metric system failed here in America. It just totally failed. I don't know why. It is laziness. I don't know. But there you have it. I like the idea of saying the pint.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And there's even that famous scene out of Pulp Fiction where they're talking about different things in Europe, but they're the same sort of thing. And they talk about burgers and McDonald's and all that. And, you get a quarter pounder, what they call it. They call it a Royale with cheese, because they have the metric system, you see. We still have it as a quarter pounder. And it still is, before we went into the EU, and since we left, for some reason, we weren't changed. But, I think it could have been to do with the fact that that terminology had been used ever since the restaurant started in the UK, if you can call it that. They didn't want to get too many people's backs up by changing things like that. Because, for example, with milk, you still tend to buy it in pints, but then other things went to litres. But the reason the Crossfire Hurricane thing came up, and this might sound a bit crass to people listening, but folks, we don't have hurricanes in the UK, so it's not, I know what a hurricane is, but the only experience I've got with the term Crossfire Hurricane is it's the opening line of the Rolling Stones song Jumpin' Jack Flash. I was born in a Crossfire Hurricane. That's why I asked Steve if this was a common term in America, in case they were sort of taking something from this, because Jumpin' Jack Flash has got its own Wikipedia page. A very few songs have got their own Wikipedia page, but the song has. And at the very bottom, it says, according to the book Keith Richards, the biography by Victor Bockris, the line, I was born in a Crossfire Hurricane, was written by Keith Richards and refers to his being born amid the bombing and air raid sirens of Dartford, England, in 1943 during World War II, because, of course, London was under the Blitz. So I just thought I'd throw that in case that was any relevance to why they've chosen to call the operation Operation Crossfire Hurricane. But I think that Steve's interpretation of it actually relating to a Crossfire Hurricane is probably a more accurate interpretation than mine.
Unless it's one of those double-dipper situations. Somebody's a big fan of the Rolling Stones, but no, I did not know that. I had not listened. I had not heard that song in years, but interesting. Very interesting to know that.
Yeah, it just, as I say, I thought I'd look it up and, see if there was any relevance. But and there was some other comment about it saying that Jagger said in a 1995 interview with Rolling Stone that the song arose out of all the acid of satanic majesties. So yeah, that's an interesting comment. It's one of those things that we'll speculate on and we'll never really know. But it's interesting to look into things like that, because we know what they do with numerology, and they astrology and all these different things. And there's a lot of great researchers. Gematria, I think people talk about. I've never really got the hang of it. I know that your Robert Ravolt's quite into some of that stuff, that he'll see dates and numbers, and he'll come out with his interpretations on his show, which follows yours, but one on the Sunday evening. So it's worth looking at all these different things, folks. And there are so many tentacles to this beast that's persecuting us throughout the world. And these tentacles all have different methods that they adopt to achieve what they achieve. And I do feel that there's some element of real dark magic that they're doing. And whether it's working or not, I think that they believe it is. And that's what makes them dangerous. Back to you, Steve.
Well, there's a second theory. Remember I told you about the Crossfire Hurricane? That was the first one that True News reported, that the reclassifying of a declassified document from Donald Trump. The second part was, there's a theory out there. They were trying to create enough anger to have another January 6th riot, basically. And then they can point a finger at Donald Trump and say, look, everywhere he goes, he just causes problems. You want this man to be president of the United States a second term? Everywhere he goes, he brings chaos. But the problem is, MAGA people, they don't riot. They don't do bad things. They really don't. As we saw at the Capitol itself, I do believe many of those people were either Black Lives Matter or Antifa that were out there trying to tarnish the image, the name of MAGA movement, Make America Great movement. That's exactly what I think you may have seen. Some of those people don't fit the picture. I've seen them also in MAGA people wearing hats. And that guy doesn't look like a MAGA person. But there's a way to deceive the people. You carry out a crime, chaos, you're wearing the MAGA hat, and then everybody gets the interpretation, the idea that MAGA is kind of a white supremacist group. Look what they just did. But that's really not the behavior of MAGA people at all. It's not the behavior. So again, staging, this is another like a false flag situation here to bring down the reputation of the MAGA movement. And I think we saw some of that at the Mar-a-Lago resort there where he lives. But we definitely saw that also in Washington, D.C., the Capitol. It's scripted. It's scripted. But, you know, it's we call this, I don't know if I got this from somebody, it may have been John Stadmiller. We call this the throwing the dirty poo diaper against the wall and see what sticks. Pretty much. I'm not sure if I got it from him or not. I may have made that one up. But the point is, it doesn't have to be true. It just has to stick. And its job is to bring you down, to hurt or tarnish your image, your reputation. And that's exactly what they've been trying to do. They're trying to, they've always painted Donald Trump as a white supremacist, a racist. Looking over my little list here, what else did they get him with? Sexgate, P-gate, Stormy Daniels, Russiagate, everything they've thrown at this guy to bring him down in reputation in the eyes of the people has failed. He's not a perfect guy. Don't get me wrong. He's not squeaky clean. I never really have liked him, but I believe in holding people accountable for what they've actually done, not manufacturing a crisis and saying, you did this. And so I have to stand up for him on that point. They've gone after taxes. They've gone after business deals. They've gone after everything. They're trolling. They're fishing for anything they can to bring him down, to make sure they can disqualify him for 2024. This is a conspiracy. That's a true conspiracy right there. And your intelligence communities are all part of it. Your FBI is very, very corrupt, very rogue, and rotten to the core.
Yes. Yes. It just boggles the mind, as I say. I mean, having been a police officer myself many years ago, I can't understand how these people can operate the way that they did. I remember when I was in the police, I made a comment to someone while I was still in probation. It was actually my sergeant, and they were trying to put these stupid laws through at the time to, I won't go into details, but it was some political nonsense that was never going to work, and it was some Labour Party scheme that was just going to encourage more crime, be soft on offenders and things like that. And I said to my sergeant, you know, what police need to do is, when the government comes up with something like this, we need to threaten to strike and say, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. We're on the streets. This will not work. He says, oh, I've got to stop you there because it's actually an offence to what you just said, to try and encourage other police officers to go on strike. But what you certainly what I was told in the 90s, when I joined, I had to take take what's called an attestation, which you swear your loyalty to the Queen, but you also swear your loyalty to, you know, uphold the law, to protect people and property and things like that. And when I see what the way that they've been behaving, just, you know, oh, this protest in London, protest against the lockdowns, you need to be as heavy-handed as possible with these people. But this protest on Black Lives Matter, you need to let them loot and riot. Mm-hmm. And they're both protests, mm-hmm. but one of them, we want you to be a lot more draconian and more totalitarian in the use of force than we do the other. And the police just go along with it. And so whatever's happened to that organisation, it's been worldwide. And I'm delighted that I got out of it over 15 years ago in 2006, because even then I could see where it was going. And I was like, you know, this isn't something that I want to be in. And unfortunately, it's been allowed to happen. The whole purpose, this is what makes it so ridiculous, Steve, is in England as well, it's an offence for a police officer to tell someone how they vote. Because you're supposed to be impartial. You're allowed to vote. You know, if you're a police officer and you want to go off and vote for a far right-wing party, well, they might have a problem with that now. But if these people are running and you vote for them, then, you know, they're obviously legally allowed to run. But if it got out, then they'd probably try and cost you a job. But you see where I'm going with this. You could vote far right, you could vote far left. But the point is, you're not allowed to tell people, because you, as a police officer, need to be seen as impartial. So how are these people acting impartially when they're administering completely different levels of force dependent on the political motivations of two protests in the same area? Right. It just doesn't compute, does it?
No, it does not. It's, again, it's controlled. You know, the narrative, the whole woke movement, we're seeing things today that I didn't think we'd ever see, you know. Redefining the terms, redefining the definition of this, of this is now this. These are kind of dark times, Andrew. I don't know what to say about these are dark times. The woke movement, you know, going back again to the, it's bold and in your face, the government tyranny, the economic extortion that I had to deal with and my wife had to deal with, and my friends here on the front lines of COVID, and then saying, take the shot or you lose your job, or I'll destroy you economically if you don't take the shot. Well, now we see that, you know, it doesn't work anyway, right? I have a neighbor behind me who's taken the shots and all the boosters, and she's had COVID for the fifth time. But she's still following the same people who gave her the bad advice that it still works and safe and effective. I don't know. I didn't have her on my show personally speaking, but I talked about her case and I said, it's a little bit frustrating on my end to be educating people, but then there's some people that are just closed-minded and they look at me like I'm the conspiracy theorist. Well, you've been lied to. They don't work. You keep getting COVID and I'm the conspiracy theorist. You know, I come down kind of hard and I said, well, you just can't fix stupid. You know, it's some people are just going to be that way. And unfortunately, there will be dire consequences. There will be some serious consequences for those who don't wise up really fast. I had some good conversations over the week with Dr. Peter McCullough about now we're seeing all these new childhood diseases coming back. And that's kind of amazing, isn't it? Now, polio is coming back into the news. A disease that we thought we had eradicated now is coming back. It's making a resurgence. It's found in the water supply and I forget what state that was. I think it was New York. And we found it in the water supply. That anybody be waiting around the water with test tubes and finding water and saying, let's test this for polio. You know, this whole thing is very scripted. Everything is what they're trying to tell you, Andrew, what they're trying to tell you is that your immune system is faulty. You can no longer in the future rely on your immune system. And they're going to try to restart the whole childhood vaccine regimen all over again, that your kids need to get all these shots all over again because there's a new strain and your immune system won't be able to handle it. And they're going to poison our children. They're going to sterilize our children. And this, again, all points to, it's not about health. It's not about real medicine. This is about an agenda. And I stand firm on this when I say this is about depopulation of the planet. No doubt in my mind.
Yes, and of course, you'll be familiar, Steve, with the Deagle.com figures, and there's been speculation by many people in the independent media, including myself, since I first became aware of these, I think back in about 2015 for me. They originally came out, I think, in 2013, and there was something that I looked at because I saw them change. And I'll always remember that before Trump got elected, it was an 81% reduction in the population of the United States. But when Trump got elected, it became a 70% reduction. So for some reason, the Trump election affected the Deagle figures, unless there was some other thing that affected them that I'm not privy to. I can tell you it was around that time. So, and the other thing that happened at that time was the UK was expecting a 70% reduction. And around that time, which of course was our Brexit, that went up to 78% reduction. So as of the last Deagle.com table of, expected population in 2025, the UK is at the top, if that's the best way to put it, of the charts of having the biggest decrease in their population. And it was other sort of European countries that were up there. I think America might have been second on the list with the 70%. But over the years, I mean, if you'd have asked me about this pre-COVID, I'd have said this is a Planet X situation, because I really started looking into Planet X, and people warned me about it. People have been in this a lot longer than me. They said, I was looking at Planet X in the late 1990s. We were told it was going to hit then. You know, you're on a red-headed herring there, Andy, you know. But I still don't know one way or another. But these figures, they something relates to them. And when you find... Steve, you're a trained medic, okay? So you know of what you speak. A situation where these vaccines are being administered every which way they can. The media's covering up all the effects. This is obviously some op that's been planned for decades. And yes. I think that this could have been the most likely scenario that the Deagle.com figures were talking about. Back to you.
Yeah. No, I agree, actually. I'm trying to remember the name of the... research scientist. She went to a convention in 2014. I'm trying to remember what her name is.
Carrie Majay. Is she the one who said about some sort of DNA things? They could sign their name or something. Go back to you, Phyllis.
Yeah, that's exactly it. What transhumanism was the topic of the conference. And this was back in 2014. They'd already had the virus named. They already had the virus named before it ever came to us. And that was back in 2014. The patents, I think I saw patents for 2016 or 17 for the coronavirus, SARS-CoV-2, which would later be called COVID-19. This thing was all scripted, very scripted. Klaus Schwab, World Economic Forum, The Great Reset, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy about it. We have a great opportunity here. Well, in order to carry out The Great Reset, you have to start something off. You have to start something. I just got some news today that the NIH, the National Institute of Health, just got caught in manipulating clinical data to be all positive when it came down to anything COVID, the shots. And I call them shots. They're not vaccines. Vaccines prevent. I think we need to reiterate that to everybody. Stop calling them vaccines, because they are not vaccines. This is experimental messenger DNA modifiers is what it is. Messenger RNA, but DNA modifiers. This is going to tweak and turn on switches. And we're seeing people that had something in remission. I question now. I looked at the death of the latest singer there, Olivia Newton-John. Had her cancer in remission for 25 years, doing great. Well, her husband's an herbalist, definitely one of those homeopathic type people. And evidently what was working worked. So I know Australia was big on the shots. Take the shots. They were forcing people or they would ruin your life. So she must have, I assume she must have taken the shot. And now that cancer switch got turned back on and was very, very speedy. Now, the conversation I had with Dr. McCullough this week was I asked him about now this whole thing of pushing, polio, they're going to go back to the shots for childhood shots. He said, yeah, And basically what he said was the number of shots and boosters has weakened our immune system to a point where we now will be able to pick up those childhood diseases. And basically what they're going to say is that we need a whole regimen now, a whole brand new panel of shots. They'll call vaccines, but they're shots. And again, these shots are going to be tweaked, and they're going to be anything but what they were when you and I took these shots when we were kids. We're looking at some serious consequences here, and I think definitely depopulation, but we're going to see sterility. And this is some serious stuff. Again, starting another realm of whole new area of shots, childhood diseases, this and that. So let's get the shots going again.
Yes, and I think it was another theory that I have, Steve. They started ramping up these vaccines in the late 80s, I believe, and early 90s, and it was a matter of course that children would be having, you know, like, I think it was like 50 of these things. It was just ridiculous. So they were generally combined into, you know, the one injection or what have you. And today when I see many young people, and I see men that actually genetically look like women and women that look like men. I'm seeing women these days that are sort of 6 foot five, 6 foot seven, and looking masculine, and men, you know, looking very feminine, and it's very strange. And I just think that this could have something to do with it, and this is why
we've
got this push that they want to get rid of all the older generation, because these are the people that they've been involved in genetically modifying their DNA, going right back to the vaccines. Your thoughts on that before we go?
You're absolutely correct. I had a conversation with Deborah Treveris on that at one of my Eagle Forum meetings back in California. It came to me. I understood. Actually, I went back to the childhood inoculations and I started to piece it together. Plus, I saw a movie called Vaxxed, which I end up showing at the Eagle Forum meeting. We all got to watch it and learned about what was suppressed there and what they found out. The MMR vaccine, if it was split up in three different shots and spaced out, the autism went down. So that's your culprit right there, the MMR cocktail, all in three at one time, changed the DNA, and we started seeing the autism. So if they reversed that and said, okay, well, we figured it out why there's autism, so let's split up the measles, mumps, and rubella, space them out, separate shots, but 3 months apart, we'll see the autism rate go plummeting down. But at that point, then it'll show up, it'll throw legal responsibility to the pharmaceutical, because now they knew it and they continued on with something they knew would cause autism. But they can't do this. This is about money, too, and power. So the conversation I had with Deborah Treveris was, what is the likelihood that all these shots that we're giving these young teenage boys is somehow at the time of puberty when their bodies are changing, instead of turning up the testosterone where you see the male characteristics, it's doing just the opposite. It's tweaking it downwards and more of an estrogen level coming up. Then you're seeing the more female characteristics of the young male. I look at these young teenage boys and they got the hands, the hips, the slim hips. They don't have the facial hair. They don't have the mannerisms of a young male. There has to be causation. And that's what I theorize what actually is happening. Is the number of shots during that area of puberty where your body's changing to become a male, maybe even a female, would be more tweaked up on the masculine side, but the male will be tweaked more on the estrogen side. And that's why we're seeing Arnold Schwarzenegger would say, the girly man.
Yeah, it's thank you for that, Steve. At least I'm not alone. I'm not going mad. It's really something that I've noticed, and thank you for fleshing that out, if you'll pardon the pun there. But before we go, let's go back to your shows. Can you just curious here from someone who does a show themselves. Obviously, Off the Beaten Path has always been your show for a considerable period of time, but the National Intel Report, of course, that has become your Monday show due to the sad passing of John. But do you treat, apart from, I know you have Ron McDonald generally in the second hour on the National Intel Report on Monday, do you treat the Off the Beaten Path show differently to how you treat the National Intel report? It's just really a question.
You know, I think they're very similar. I might add a little more satire with my own program than I do the National Intel report. I'm not sure my audience may be a little older on the older side for the Monday show for the National Intel report. On my show on Sunday, Off the Beaten Path, it might be a little younger. I throw a lot of satire in there, and I throw satire in for a number of reasons. First of all, to make you start thinking about the hypocrisy of what you actually people are saying or doing versus the reality of what's really going on. So I like to use satire. As a matter of fact, just the other day, World Market is now pushing, it's a big hot seller, I guess, for Christmas, an action doll of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And I like to throw that in there because that's comical. That's funny. I can't imagine little kids, you know, you got the G.I. Joe over here and you got the Ruth Bader Ginsburg over here and they're coming at each other. But, then I threw some little humor. Sometimes I throw it in and somebody writes me and says, is that real or were you just being funny? I said, I was just being funny. It was a joke. You're supposed to catch my satire. But I also said that they were making a Joseph Scalia, you know, the deceased Joseph Scalia Supreme Court Justice doll. And it comes with a death certificate saying natural causes, but it also comes with a Mike Lindell small miniature pillow that you can smother him with, you know, because his death was under very mysterious circumstances, you know, and he was actually declared dead by a justice of the peace, which I didn't know they could do that. I thought they just married people. But I like to throw a little humor in once in a while.
Yeah, no, you do a great job. And folks, those two shows, can you give us the exact times of both of them? Because I know that these are live, folks, so you can generally call in, certainly in the second hour. Steve will let you know when the phones are open. So for those of you who like listening, a lot of people, they like the excitement of the live experience and then the opportunity of maybe being able to call in as well is an added bonus. So can you give people the times of the Sunday and the Monday show, please, Steve?
Yeah, the Sunday show is Off the Beaten Path, and it's 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you can't catch it live, I mean, you can go on a number of sites to actually pick it up. My show is catching on a different format, so I've looked on the internet. Oh, they're carrying it. But if you don't get to catch a live show, you can go listen to the archives, and you can go to republicbroadcasting.org. That's republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the top up there. It says Archives, and follow it down and find the Sunday show. That's Off the Beaten Path from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Then on Monday, the National Intel Report is 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the same applies there. We have archives for all the shows on the network. So you miss one, you catch up. Just go to the archives.
Yes, thank you, Steve. And of course, there will be a link to the Steve's actual archives on RBN in the post for this show at achshow.com. And also a link to the Republic Broadcasting Network's main page. So that being said, I want to thank Steve so much for joining me today
for a
show entitled It's Bold and In Your Face, Government Tyranny. Steve and I'll be back with you next month. I'll of course be back with you all tomorrow. And until then, folks, have a wonderful day and bye for now.